Arya Shikoya. The Kavod Gadol to be here, placing a fight Asanya Mamish, the Kavod Gadol to be in such a beautiful shul with such a gewaldig rav whose reputation precedes him. I like to mention like this, Rabbi, so before I start, you know, sometimes the last speaker is considered the meat and potatoes. Everything else is a vorspeise. So I'd like to say, I am the dessert. Rav Dov Kahn is a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and I'm just going to try to sweeten a little what was going on here. In that respect, I'd like to mention that Rav Dov said over a Maisa from the Chavetz Chaim, so I had the schus of meeting, there's a Yidden Eretz Yisrael named Rav Heisherik. He's an Eidim by Rav Moshe Hirschler, Zatzal. So Moshe Hirschler was in a cab with him in Eretz Yisrael, and this is Lois Holland is Nogeya to a cab all the time in Eretz Yisrael, where everybody, most of the cab drivers are Yidden. So he's in the cab and is about to pay, so his Shver of Moshe Hirschler says to his Eidim, Heisherik, you know what you're doing? So he said, Ich weiß the Meisa von der Chavetz Chaim, I know the Meisa. So his Shver looked at him and said, your right hand. Took out the money with his left hand. You're doing a mitzvah with your right hand. Okay, just we should be aware that heighten our awareness. Okay, I'd like to begin by, if it's right to start this way, most of you don't know me, but how about Chatoi Ani Maskir Hayoyim? That's where I'd like to begin. What I mean to say by that when I was in yeshiva, I was in Long Beach. I came from Boston. That's where I moved to Boston. I was 11, lived in Crown Heights before then. I'm just giving you a taste. Many of you may remember this. I'm not looking around to see how old everybody is, but I'm in the beginning of my sixth decade. So I was in Long Beach, and I got to yeshiva. I would say most people in yeshiva wore cotton tzitzis. Well, cotton tzitzis. And stomach by 16 by 16, maybe 18 by 18, somewhere in that vicinity. Then through high school, maybe in Beis Medrash, started wearing wool tzitzis on Shabbos. And there were 22 by 22, Moshe Shir. Then graduated to 24 by 24, the covered Shabbos. And then finally, you know, by my children, they had no shilas. Tzitzis means 24 by 24 wool. Finish. Chol Yisrael. Again, you don't know me. I'm going to tell you. I don't know. I feel close, maybe because of my Zubnik, but Chol Yisrael. There was no Chol Yisrael in Boston when I was growing up. In Lakewood, Sheitzach Yeshiva had Chol Yisrael. Long Beach, most of the time, you had Chol Yisrael. You know, Ruba the Ruba at the time had Chol Yisrael. But people eat Chol Yisrael in their houses, very, very few. The last week before my chasana, so I met with my wife, my kala at that time. So I told my wife that when we got engaged, I said, I want to keep Chol Yisrael in the house. I know it sounds like, what? I want to keep Chol Yisrael in the house. We moved to Chicago. I was looking at the test when the girl moved to Chicago. Keeping Chol Yisrael was far from pashut. And I said, I want to keep Chol Yisrael. So my wife said, if you're keeping it, I'm keeping it. We're not doing this. You do it, I do it. I'm doing whatever you're doing. I said, okay, so we went to Carvel 7.5 days before our chasana. That was the last time. So I just took Eirich Chaim and Yeridaya. That's Eirich Chaim and Yeridaya. So we're here because Chosh and Mishpat has been trailing behind. That's really what's been going on. And I think, Fakert, I'm a very big optimist by nature. And we, Baruch Hashem, we're excelling continuously in our Chaim. Hu Adi in Yeridaya. And Eved Ezer, without mentioning in many, many other inyanim. So Ari Marburger and Chaim Shlita and everybody else who's involved, and the fact that you're here and this whole machon, this is because we are pioneers. I'm being very serious now. We're all pioneers together. We're pioneering in rediscovering Chosh and Mishpat. And Chosh and Mishpat is alive and well, and as Rav Dov said, it's Nogei, as Rav Chaim said, it's our life. So I would like to take an aspect of Chosh and Mishpat and talk about how it's Nogei. Okay, now I want to preface. Anybody who has to leave at 12 o'clock, it's fine. Anybody whose wife is expecting home at 12 o'clock, go, please. Anybody who stays, we'll see, and I'm going to try to end at 12 o'clock. Anyways, we'll go a little longer, we'll see what's happening. Okay, I had a group of people who came to the shul happens once every couple of years. All the Federation employees who deal with Orthodox Jews who want to know what it means to be an Orthodox Jew, they have they call it an in-service for a day. So I was talking about all the different things you have to do as a Frum Yid, and then somebody stopped me and said to me, like, why? What's the motivation? I was caught off guard, and it was Mamash Siyata Deshmaya. So the first thing I said was, because we're going to get tested at the end of our lives. We have to answer questions. We have to know that's why we're doing what we're doing. And from there, I started thinking, and then the following thing came out. You ever stop and think about this? In school, get a test. So that causes a little fright. If the teacher says, you know what, I'm going to give you the questions before the test. I'm going to give you the questions before the test. Anxiety maybe decreases, maybe increases. It's such a scary test, they even give me the questions before. What happens if the teacher says, I'm going to give you the questions and I'm going to give you the answers before the test? It's an unbelievable thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, here's the test and here's the answer. You ready? Achleikis, Gemoris, Tiris, Rishonim, Terutzim, Nosasim, and Nosata, Be'amuna, whatever's going to be, a table, yeah, chairs, whatever's going to be, first question, are you a Ganav? Nosasim, and Nosata, Be'amuna is the first question. Upstairs, Sanhedrin. The whole thing, were you honest in business? That's the first question. Again, according to Wamshat Nigamara, even before Kavat Ethan Latoira, were you honest in business? That's the question. And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. So, here's the scenario. The answer is yes. Every nickel is yours? Yes. Okay? Run the video, the DVD, the MP3, whatever's going on. Okay? Run it. What do you say about this deal? There's going to be the deal on the screen, and they're going to ask you, every nickel is yours? Yes. You a Ganav? No. What do you say about this deal? Okay, so I'd like to talk. First the marketplace, then the house, then the office. I'm going to mention Shilas, Rabbi Say. I'm going to say some quick terutzim. I'm just coming here to talk about what's Nogea and where this issue is Nogea. Okay, we had a Shilas. One was a Din Torah, one was a Shilas. One was unfortunate, one was not so unfortunate, but this is Lamaisa. This was in a Din Torah. The Din Torah was between the parents of the Kala and the caterer. Because the Kala called off the wedding, Rahman al-Islam, 4 days before the Chasana. Okay? Now, emotionally, Fashtesach, you feel terrible for the parents of the Kala and for the Kala. And maybe for the Chasana. Okay, but what about the caterer? What about the caterer? So emotionally you say, listen, caterer, you know, we got our own tzaris. Have a good day. Is that true? We have our own tzaris. Have a good day. Is that true? Or the shaila, which was not that bad, but the shaila that the caterer showed up at 7 o'clock to the shul, went downstairs, put out the lox, the bagels, everything else. Moil came for davening, and at 7:45 the mother came with the baby, and the moil takes a look at the baby, touches the baby has a fever, there's no bris. Okay, Baruch Hashem, everybody's okay. There's no bris. The caterer is downstairs with the lox and the bagels. And maybe even the moil, who drove in from Lakewood to Flatbush, or Flatbush to Lakewood, or flew somewhere to... You know, and he tested for yellow, he didn't do anything wrong. So, now, all I mean to say is, we have a shaila. We have a shaila. And the shaila cannot be answered by the person himself, unless the person is fluent in Chesha Mishpat. This is shaila. This is not how I feel, this is not touchy-feely. Well, I feel bad, come back tomorrow, bring the locks to a yeshiva, get a discount on for a tax return. This is not your shaila to answer for his money. And more than that, it's not your shaila to answer for your money. How do you know that nickel belongs to you? Maybe the nickel belongs to the caterer. Now if this shalom, and you sit down with the caterer and you say, listen, I feel bad, the caterer says, don't worry, well, let's work out a deal. If you both want to work out a deal, Mechila, as Rabbi Khan said, you want to be Mechila each other, but you got to work out a deal. You can't decide what you're going to do. Unless you want to pay completely and take the food. Then the sakana no shaila. Otherwise you have a shaila. I hate to say the shaila over, but l'maisa, it's a shaila, because chesh and mishpat is really a life. That's really what Reb Chaya meant. This shaila talk happened in Chicago several years ago. It's a terrible shaila. It should never be nogeya, but there was a very sick child in a family, very, very sick, deathly ill, and the child was nifter on Shabbos, Rechmona Litzlan. But that Matzoi Shabbos was the child's brother's bar mitzvah, Rechmona Litzlan. So the bar mitzvah obviously was canceled, but the caterer was out several thousand dollars. Now that's also a shaila. That's also a shaila, and that's real. That's real. Okay, so now I'm just going to get into pratim, just a little bit of pratim here. The caterer supplied the service. The caterer has all the food. The caterer did what they were supposed to do. The shaila of an oinus. So when the shaila of an oinus comes about, so now oinus is real. What do you do with oinus? This is a ganza tumul. What do you do with oinus? And what is the oinus? And who is the oinus? And who's going to pay? I'm just giving it as a preface, everybody say. This is a shaila. This is real. The caterer could say, you know, the emotions are too much. You know, just forget the bill. Forget about it. I'm oichel everything. I don't want to talk about it. But, you know, this caterer who told me, he said he spent, it was $6,000 out of pocket. It was not so easy for him to just say, you know, forget about it. Not so pashut. And that's real. And although this tsar doesn't pater the chiyuv to pay. Okay. Now, it was very nice of Rabbi Zupnik to introduce me by saying I came here for the shir. So I want to talk about I came here for the shir. But before I talk about I came here for the shir, I'd like to talk about something else which I hold as mamish nogel mice that happens to me all the time. When you rent a car. Okay? I'll give you a simple example. You rent a car. So now you're in a rush. For those of you in New York, there's an airport called Newark that people fly into from different places. Fly into Newark Airport. You have luggage. You're with your wife. You have to get some flights delayed, which is normal. So you tell your wife, you go to the rental agency. You get the car. I'll get the luggage. I'll meet you. Finish. She goes to the car. She rents the car. You really made a reservation for those people who do such things. Made a reservation online. Fine, pick up the car, and she says, my husband is, you know, wants to drive, automatic spouse. They said we changed the rule, which happens to be that most agencies change the rule. If you want your spouse to drive, it's another $9.99 a day, and you're coming in for Shabbos, which means it's $40. So your wife said, forget it, and it's Thursday afternoon, and you're going to a chasen. You get into the car, and your wife gives you the keys. Okay, you're allowed to drive the car? No, so driving the car is an issa geneva. That's an issa geneva. Because they did not rent the car to you. They rented the car to your wife. They told your wife up front, if she wants to pay for you, she can do that. If she doesn't pay for you, then you can't drive the car. You can sit in the car, you can be driven in the car, but you can't drive the car. Now I will tell you, the theme of this year, if you want. Why should I talk about anybody else? Talk about myself. 8 years ago, and 9 years ago, or 10 years ago, before I started learning Chesh and Mishpat, I paid for the car. What am I doing wrong? I can give you all the svaris. We can all handle here all the svaris. Bottom line is, it's Geneva. It's Geneva. You want to talk about a non-Jew, a goy? It's Geneva. It's Geneva. Finish. It's Geneva. They said no. They're makbid. They told you no up front. You cannot drive the car. Same thing they used to have in agencies when you rented a car. They used to say you can only keep in the tri-state area. Tri-state area, which is New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. So you have a chasana in Massachusetts, 5 miles over the Connecticut line. I know the guy who did that. Quote unquote, you know, the yeshiva guy who did that. Brought the car back, and they said, you go out of the tri-state area? Well, of course. And they pull out the computer, GPS, satellites, who knows what they do. Says here, you're in Massachusetts, buddy. Okay, now besides being a ganav, because you have no head to drive the car into Massachusetts. You cross the state line, it's not your car anymore. You cannot drive the car past the state line. Milvadat, the Chil Hashem. You walk in, you say, I didn't do it. They pull up the thing and say, you didn't do it. Okay, now, there's all this response. Okay, who's this guy? Cohen came in from Chicago and told me about your neighbor. Okay, I want to tell you like this. I'm giving you third case. All these cases, by the way, I all mentioned. You know, you got this car and you're going to a chasana. So, you're going to a chasana and you got to rent the car. And you're driving it, and your wife only got her permission for herself, and you're driving it, and you're in Massachusetts, you're over the state line, 5 miles over the state line, and you get to the chasana, and there's no room to park. So you park in someone's driveway. You put on the flashes. You know why? Because you're in a rush. You know why? You're supposed to be an aid kedushin. Oh. Okay, Rabbi Isai. Now we're here. Now we arrived. I'll tell you. You think this is funny? Huh? It's unbelievable, right? Listen to this. I'm side of Kedushin once, and I usually talk to the Chosan before, and you know who's gonna. I said, whatever the kibbutzim are, I just want who is going to be the Adam. Not like in Washington Nights, where the minig is the rope comes with his Adam. Washington Nights, the rope comes with the Adam. You don't get the kibbut of Adam. The rope brings the Adam. Like the rope brings the Kuba, the rope brings the Adam. Finish. So I say to him, I forgot, it was Eretz Yisrael. I said, who are the Adam? He shows me one of the Adam. So I walk over to the Adam. I said, I took him over to the side. I said, listen, you know, I want to tell you something. This couple being married is not totally on me. I'm just going to make a bro. This couple being married is totally on you. If you're a kosher aid, fine. Come back in 5 minutes and tell me what you want to do. So he came back to me and said like this. How about bracha achrita? Rabbi Isai, this is serious business here. It's not a joke. It's serious business. This is serious business. Serious business. That's hagdama number one. But the reason I mentioned Rabbi Zupnik said I flew in. I didn't tell this to Rabbi Marburg yet because it was not Nogea. But I want to tell you like this. Now, really, the truth is, Rabbi Marburg and Rabbi Cohen have to really pass on the shaila because I'm a Nogea Bedover. I gave a shiur last year in Lakewood on the following shaila. Somebody asked me to fly in to give a shiur. Okay, so anytime anybody asks me to fly in to give a shiur, I like to give a shiur. Flying in is good because my mother, unfortunately, she should be zeichel refuah shleima, is not so well. So any opportunity I have to come in, I come in and I visit my mother. So I came in last night, rather, at 12:30. I got to my mother's house at 1 o'clock in the morning. I saw my mother. I came here. Now I told her by Marburger up front when he asked me to come in. I said I'll do it. I'll say you know that somebody's taking care of my ticket. I said, but you have to understand something. We're expecting a simcha. And if I have a bris this morning, I'm not going to say shir. So if you want to take the chance of paying for the ticket and I have a bris, fine. So he said, okay. So, Baruch Hashem, we had a simcha. It was a girl. And Baruch Hashem. And they're making a kiddush next Shabbos in Lakewood. Okay, now my shiloh was going to be the following. If it would have been a boy, and let's say the bris would have been on Shabbos or on Monday, and I could have been able to come to the shir, who should pay the ticket? Because I would have come in anyways. I'm coming in for Nanakel's bris. Now, if I'm coming in because of the shir, and Derech Agav, I get to see my mother, and I hope to drive to Lakewood very quickly, within the halacha, and drive to Lakewood and see my Nanakel, so that's my benefit, that's a perk I get because I'm coming in to say shir. But if I would come in to say shir, but I would have come in anyways because of a bris, then I have another shiloh. Am I allowed to take the money? Because who said I'm coming in to say the shir? Had there been no shir, I would have paid my own ticket. And they said they're paying the ticket because they want me to come in for the shir. Now the tables have been switched. There's a big tumult with an asivus. There's a big shiloh here. Who pays? Am I allowed to take the money before I get on the plane if I know I'm not coming in really for the shir? Because I would have done it anyways. Okay. Now again, I am being ma'orer that people should know that when they get money from someone else, they have to make sure the money they're taking and putting in their pocket is allowed to be put into their pocket. Zehu cheshen mishvat. Zehu cheshen mishvat. Okay. Now let's switch gears. Mother. Mother in Bnei Brak. Mother in Bnei Brak gets a phone call from her son. You saw the shiloh. Mother in Bnei Brak gets a phone call from her son. They bring it to me in shul. You know? Here's the shiloh. Everything is printed up nowadays. You get anything you want. I went to a guy once that went in, I'm the rabbi went in, I said, what you say? I had a bunch of Kiddush, I walked in, I said, what you say to Kiddush? He said, I Googled girl and the Parsha of the week, and I got a vort. Okay. I didn't believe it. Maisa Shohaya, she told me. Anyways. Okay, listen. So what happened? A mother has her son who's going to learn Torah in Yerushalayim. Son calls up and tells the mother in Bnei Brak, the food is horrible in yeshiva, mami shakhenish, shakhenish, shakhenish. Mother says, my tattle, she cooks them up a ton of food, and she puts it in a box. You saw the shayla. She puts it in a box. Now she wants to get the food to her son. So she takes the box and she walks down to the bus station. And when the bus is about to go from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim, she puts the box into the luggage compartment. And then what does she do? She calls her son. She tells her son, this is the bus number and it's leaving now. Go to the station and pick up the box. So I got a ganze tumul, baslish in a salam and ayin. That's what it says here. The tumul, they went to Rabbi Silverstein, Rabbi Bnei Brak, is the meat okay or not? So Zachary Yitzchak Silverstein, is the meat okay? Yeah, the meat's okay. Baslish in a salam is not a shayla. What's with Geneva? What's with Geneva? So here's exactly what Rav Chaim was talking about before. What's with Geneva? Our mindset has to change. What do you mean I put the meat on the bus? That's because we're still progressing from Eir Chaim and we're stuck somewhere in Yerodea and maybe a little of Ezra. We haven't gotten to Choshen Mishpat yet. What do you mean I put the box on the bus? What do you mean I put... So the guy said, Mamish, the guy said, what does it say here? It says here. He thought it's the end of his Eilei Chosser. So Mele, he said, you know, what's with the Shiloh of putting the box on the bus? That's what we're here for. Ought to put the box on the bus. Absolutely not. Went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he said, you can't put the box on the bus. Okay. Okay, Rabbi, so now we're going to get more serious.
He could eat the food,
but Rav Chaim said, which is Pashtos, Rav Chaim said, this started becoming a weekly occurrence. So Rav Chaim said they had to go back and pay for the other trips also. The food's mutter, that's a good shayla, the food's mutter, but the maestro, they owe money. If you're asking like Ein Zem Mavarech Elam Anayitz, that I don't believe that would be applicable from the Gemara in Sukkah. Okay, now the Maisa like this. You have a business. You have a business, you want to sell cars. It's a good business, you want to sell cars. But you don't want to build a showroom. That costs money. So you'll get people to come, and they will come to you. And you will sell them cars, guaranteed cheaper than anybody else who sells cars. Why? Because you don't have a showroom. But the guy wants to test drive a car. Yeah, go 2 miles down the road, and go test drive the car. Go test drive the car. So what's this? I walked in. I tell the guy I want to buy a car. Can I test drive a car? What did I do wrong? So that's enough on halacha and Shulchan Aruch and Simon Reish Chav Ches, which is the halacha of Oino, that if I walk into a store with absolutely no intention whatsoever to buy, I'm over in Issa Daraisa. And Pashtus, I fall into the rubric of Geneva, as the Gemara says in the beginning of Ezo Neshech, that I know and Geneva is all the same. What did I do wrong? When did I ask the guy Rishus? The guy gave me permission. Well, my sister, Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to do that. I have no havamina whatsoever to buy. What happens to be in this particular case, I was told this is anecdotal, so I can't guarantee this is true, but the person who had the showroom eventually caught on that somebody must be selling cars without a showroom. Because he was a good salesman, and everybody who came in, I don't want to say who looked like me and you and me, wasn't buying any cars of him. And then he finally caught what's going on. And the next guy who came in, he threw him out of the store. So forget, again, the Chil Hashem. Walking into the store and asking someone to sell you something, Simon Reish Chav Ches, is an Isra of Oino, and I am getting someone involved in thinking that he has the potential to sell me something when there is absolutely no potential to do it. How about this, Shiloh Rabbi Say? I'm sure everybody's going to say that this is okay, I hope. That a woman told me that she was on the cell phone in the store buying clothing for her anagul. And everything she picked up she didn't like, and then she got a phone call in the middle. So she left the store. And she got to her car and she looks down and here she has one outfit on her arm. She just walked out of the store with an outfit. Don't clear up, I say, whether or not, since the store is not owned
You understand where I'm going? The store's not owned by a Jew. So Mela, now we have a Shaila. What's the Shaila? Gezel Akum, is there a Chiyav of Hashava? So Chiyav Hashava and Gezel Akum. Just take this, take the item and bring it back and put it back and tell the person you took it by mistake and give it back to them. Give it back to them. Rav Moshe holds there's absolutely no Shaila. To Mechuyav to walk back into the store and give that item back into the store. It was an honest mistake. It was an honest mistake. And someone just came to me and said to me, again, a simple Shaila. I have a bus ticket. Bus ticket says, non-transferable. My father has the ticket. I'm his son. Brought Kara de Avua. I'm his foot. So maybe I'm really him. I love the ingenuity. It's good. It's fucking good. It does mean we're thinking. All those Shailas I tell people all the time, call the bus company and ask them. I don't have to answer the Shaila. Call the bus company and ask them. And if they say you can't, that means you can't. Yes?
I just want to make sure I understand. So, there's no difference in Gazela between a Yid and a
Yid? I didn't say there's no difference. I didn't say there's no difference. Practically speaking, in this scenario, there is absolutely no difference. Laniyas Daiti, Anuva Vaklusha. Right, there's no difference. Now, I haven't gotten to the Ramo yet that I want to mention, but even before the Ramo, there's no difference. There is a Machlekes in the Gemara, but there's no difference. At this juncture, when somebody asks me that question, I usually stop for a minute and say the following. You know, Ribbis, Lamashal, Ribbis is Mutter to a Goy, right? Shiloh, Mitzvah, Chiv. Okay, Goyim, Goyim are people that we have to interact with positively. And this is the Mashal. I have a store. Retail store. You're my brother, you walk in, I am not going to sell it to you for the same amount, hopefully, the same amount of money I'm going to sell it to a stranger. I'm not even going to sell it to you for the same amount of money I'm going to sell it to my first cousin. A brother and a father are different than a first cousin. They're first cousins. Second cousins, third cousins, whatever you want. I can't steal, I'm just saying but I don't have to treat them the same way I treat my brother. So now I'm going to charge Ribbis. I can't charge my brother Ribbis, I'll charge you Ribbis. Not because I dislike you, not because I disrespect you, he's my brother. And you're not my brother. So male and you, I can make a bigger profit. Psache necho ure means that I don't have to tell you necessarily everything that's a fault in the item I'm selling you. It's a complicated issue. If the item that I'm selling you is something you can check out yourself. Not to a brother. A brother, I have to be more open. Caveat emptor is something, since they deal that way between themselves, we don't have to deal that way. But that's a side issue. I don't want to go there right now. I'm just talking about halacha lemaisa. Learn Simon Shin Tev. It's very geschmack. Hilchas Geneva, Hilchas Gzeila, learn it. Slots and Shim Memches, go through it. We just finished it in the Kollel. It's very geschmack. It's not really that hard. You can learn through the Mechabes and Ramos. You can take out all the Svarim you want now, or Pischei Choshen, anything else you want, and go through and you'll see it's very geschmack. Very geschmack. Slot and Chaburis, Lawak Geneva and Gzeila. It made a big impact. What we thought was is not what we really. You know, it's not what it really is. It's very geschmack, and it's not so hard. Make chabura, ask Rabbi Zubin. He has a lot of time. Ask Rabbi Zubin. Okay. Okay. But I will tell you that before you pass in Shiloh and anybody else's money, call them up and ask them. It's a very simple solution, very often. Call them up and ask them. Okay, now I'd like to get a little bit more, not that I wasn't serious, I want to get a little bit more serious. I was sitting in a sukkah, chalamayt sukkahs, sitting with an Adam Gadol, and he turned to me, and he said to me, once he asked me something in Chesha Mishpat, so my mind completely shut down. I'm nervous sitting in front of an Adam Gadol, he's going to ask me something, I finished. So now he asked me a shayla, I said I have to think about it, because I couldn't think at all, I had to think about it. I left this sukkah, I went home to my sukkah. Here's the shayla. He tells me a Talmud calls him up. Talmud calls up this Rosh Hashiva, says to the Rosh Hashiva like this, everybody in this story is Shomer Shabbos, okay? Somebody owns a nursing home. Somebody owns a nursing home. Okay, I don't want you to think it's a Chicago Shiloh where there are a lot of nursing homes. It happens to be it was a Shiloh on the East Coast. But somebody owns a nursing home, and he has an administrator of the nursing home. Everybody's Shomer Shabbos. He tells the administrator, we have to rehab, we have to fix up the nursing home, a job of several $100,000, got to take care of it. You take care of it, you find somebody. I want the cheapest price. I want the cheapest price. It's a nursing home. It's not my own home. I want the cheapest price. So the Shomer Shabbos administrator is now working for the Shomer Shabbos owner. The Shomer Shabbos administrator has a friend in construction. See, it says like this. I'll put out a bid to one person, and whatever that person bids, I'll call my friend who's in the construction business. I'll tell him to bid a little less. And maybe I'll give him the business. And the boss is going to save money. So that was the Shiloh. Okay, Rabbi Isaac, what do you think? I saw somebody shaking his head, no, no, like a big no. Somebody was shaking his head, a big no. So what's the issue? So I went home. First thing I did was my Edom was in the sukkah, so he called his uncle who's a lawyer. So he said, there's no Shiloh, legally speaking, there's absolutely no Shiloh. If you are an employee, your job is to do what's best for the boss, not what's best for you. That's one. Two, somebody once called me again from the East Coast. He asked me a shayla like this. He wants to buy a house, and the pressure for Shteitzach is gebaldik. Everybody wants to buy a house, and he found a house for $450,000, which is mamish below market value. So he wants to give the broker $5,000 under the table, and the broker is working for the seller to not take any more bids. So he calls me up and he said, my father is upset with me for asking the shayla. So I said to him, if you were here, I'd smack you across the face and tell you the same thing. What are you doing? What's happening here? You're paying the broker of the seller $5,000 under the table to shut down the bids. What's going on, Rabbi? So let's think for a second. What's going on? The broker of the seller is engaged by the seller to get the highest price. And you are paying that employee of the seller to make sure he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. How many different ways of Geneva is that? You're an employee working for somebody and you're working for somebody else when that employee is paying you to work for him. So in this situation, it's very possible that when you put out one bid, you get a bid. The job was $500,000. He got a bid for $490,000. He calls up a friend and says, bid $488,000. Now, how do you know that your friend, had you left the bidding open, would not have bid $480,000? And therefore, in essence, had he bid $480,000, so the Baal HaBos would have gotten the job for $480,000. And instead, you called up your friend and said, bid $488,000. How are you allowed to do that? Because he's your friend. If both people bid the same, go have a Shiloh. But to call up your friend and tell your friend what to bid when the potential is that your owner, who is your boss, who hired you to work for him and to get the best price because you want to do your friend a favor. Understand where I'm going, Rabbi Isaac? Okay. Now I'm going to talk about one more Shiloh. This Shiloh I like even less. And this Shiloh may rub some people the wrong way, not in this room. I'm sure not in this room. But I hold it's kedai to hear such a Shiloh. Okay? I hold it's kedai to hear such a Shiloh. Some people advise me against saying such a Shiloh. I hold this kedai to say such a Shiloh. I said such a Shiloh publicly recently, and I want to tell you what the results were. A Rav calls me up. A Choshev Tyre Rav. He calls me up. I'm sure he did nefesh. He calls me up. He says he has a Shiloh. Here's the Shiloh. A woman goes to work. Everybody is Shem Shabbos again. A woman goes to work for an employer. Okay, now she tells the employer she wants to be paid off the books. Okay? She wants to be paid off the books. So the employer has a big firm and he forgets to pay her off the books. So she comes to him and says, you know, I told you to pay me off the books. He said, you know, I forgot. Second month, he forgot again. And the third month, he forgot again. So she came with a Shiloh. So he said, you know what? What do you want? You want to save the taxes? I'll write you a check for the taxes and I don't have time to the whole thing and finish. She said, no, that's not my Shiloh. My Shiloh is, I'm collecting unemployment. Yeah, everybody say, I'm collecting unemployment. And Mamela, everything is so fast nowadays on computers. So therefore, I'm in the system as getting money from you. As a result of getting money from you for the last 3 months, all the money that I could have made on unemployment, I lost. And Mamela, instead of making any money, I came out even. I could have stayed home for the last 3 months. I want all the money I lost from unemployment, not the money I lost in taxes. Oh, so here we have arrived, Rabbi Say. Now we have arrived. Everything else until now, eight kedushin here, eight kedushin here, a little bit of box on the bus, I'm going to pay the difference or not. Now we're talking a little bit more seriously, right? The owner of the nursing home wants the best deal for himself, not the best deal for his employee's friend. Here, Rabbi Isai, what are we doing? What are we engaged in? What are we engaged in? What are we engaged in? Then a person told me, and I'm not here to tell war stories. That's not my purpose here. Rabbi Dov Kahn's statement was gavaldic. I don't mean to use this as the pejorative. I'm not here to tell mikvah maises. I'm here to say the following. A person tells me that here's another shiloh. A guy opens up a business, hires his wife, and he gives his wife a salary. And then he fires his wife 6 months later so she can collect unemployment and still work for him. So he'll get the benefit of having an employee work for 9 months and only have to pay for 6 months, because the last 3 months, however the cheshbon is, 9 months and 12 months, 12 months and 15 months, whatever the cheshbon is. Okay. So I had a woman come over to me. I said this part of this year recently. She came over to me. She told me her work is 80% on the books, 20% off the books. And she asked me what I thought. So I started telling her that if you would speak to Rabbi Yankov Zatzal, who used to live in Muncie, right? That Gadol B'Yisrael. If you would ask him, he would have said, everything should be on the books. So before I had a chance to go weiter, the woman told me, do you know that in my life, every major decision I made was only al pi Rav Yankov? And then she told me an incredible decision that Rav Yankov told her, a personal decision, unbelievable, and she listened to him, unbelievable. They said, that's it, finished. I don't have to hear anything more. I don't have to hear anything more. Now, I want to mention that without even getting into the minutiae of detail, and again, you can figure it out yourself. Sheker, Geneva, what did I get this money for? Simen Shin Mem Ches. Open it up and start reading. Sif Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. In the Ramah, not in a Musa Sefer, and I don't mean that as a pejorative either, Chas V'Sholom, not in a Musa Sefer. In the Ramah it says that when there might be a heter, in situations of interactions with non-Jews, it's only if there's not going to be a Chil Hashem. And there's not one person in this room who can guarantee me that there's not going to be a Chil Hashem in any of the aforementioned cases. And if there's no guarantee that there's not going to be a Chil Hashem, then the Ramah says you cannot engage in such practice. You cannot engage in such practice. We had a symposium, Rabbi Ari Marburger came out, Rabbi Chaim Cohen came out in Chicago. We had a very, very prominent lawyer in Chicago who said that the present day government of the United States of America, which is the best country in its treatment of us as Yidden in the history of our Golus, has an entire division presently dedicated to what is called white collar crime. And he said, in one of his clients, the government was able to trace a cell phone that this client had 8 years ago for 3 months. So I don't believe there's anyone who can say that they have the ability to guarantee that they are not going to create a Chil Hashem. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. So therefore, the Maisa Nogeil HaLocha now. If you open up the Ramah in the beginning of Shem Mem Ches, it says, only if you know there's not going to be a Chil Hashem, it's not Shaykh. And I don't have to mention what happened in the papers. Everybody knows. Just recently. You know the Maisa. Yid came to the Beis Yisrael. Came to the Beis Yisrael. The Beis Yisrael said, Meret Vegen Eichof and Gas. They're talking about you in the street. So the Yid says to the Beis Yisrael, Echab das nish keton! Echab das nish keton! So the Beis Yisrael is only the Ger Rebbe could say, Keton Eichet? I didn't accuse you of doing anything. I accused you of the fact that people are talking about you. They're talking about you. Keton Eichet? Okay. It's after 12. Anybody can leave. I'm closing. Okay? Baal's Tshuva. I'm telling you the words Baal's Tshuva because it's important to state. A woman called me up who's a Baal's Tshuva and told me she wants to take off her shetel. Because every involvement that she has in business with yeshivish people is crooked, and she wants to take off her shekel. She can't tolerate. She can't tolerate. I want to tell you reverse. We have a Chesha Mishpacha. Recently we started something we call the Yeshiva program. They have a few of them in New York. We call it a Yeshiva program. We have a number of Bachim who come back from learning in Eretz Yisrael for a year or two. They can't learn full time in Yeshiva, so they learn part time. We have like 40 boys in the shul. And they're learning a first Seder, or learning second Seder, or short, first Seder, short, and second Seder. They come either Seder they want. So I told the person who I learn with them, and then someone else learns with them more full time than I do. I said, let's learn something with them which interacts with Chesha Mishpat. So we started learning the last half of Bab Metzia, Seiches Umnim, Seiches Apoyalim. It's been going gevaldik. We're talking about renting cars, driving cars, Apostle Eders, all these things. So one of the boys in this program just got interviewed at a job. Got a job interview. So he came back for the second interview. He says, listen, this is a managerial position. The boss tells me, you're going to have to write checks. You're going to have to fire and hire people. I have to know about your integrity. Tell me about your integrity. So the guy says, you know, I grew up in America. I never stole anything. I'm a nice guy. You know, can ask this and ask that. And then the bacha tells me, and then he says, he doesn't know what happened. He said, he started talking about what we're learning. He said, if you rent a car and you only put down your wife's name, and therefore your husband and the other husband, you can't drive, and going back and forth, and he started all the shadows I just mentioned. So the guy says, what? The guy says, I can't believe it. I can't believe that there are people who are thinking this way. I can't believe there are people who are thinking this way. I have a person in shul, very chush of a radiologist. He had a shiloh about all the things in the office. What can he do this? I said, do me a favor. Don't ask me. Go to your boss, make an appointment, sit down. He went into his boss, head of another division in this major, major hospital. He sat with his boss for an hour. The paper clips and the fax machine and this and that. For an hour and 15 minutes, I think it was. The boss said he's nishtoiming. That somebody wants to know what to do. Do you know that there was a tremendous article in all the Chinese, China, you know, with the 1 billion Chinese, the more than one, there was a tremendous article, TV, all the newspapers, Rebbe Yashiv. And Rebbe Yashiv was all over TV in China. It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it myself. I get all this mail in my office and show, when I get this new newspaper, I don't even know who put it out, the back page, a picture of Rebbe Yashiv, China. So I read the article. It says that there's a whole, you know, in China, prisoners in prison, they take their kidneys from them. They even take their hearts from them. So Rabbi Yashiv said, this is what the article says anyways, Rabbi Yashiv said, it's osur, it's like sirtzach, you can't do it. You cannot take an organ from China. No matter what the circumstances are, because you don't know what happened. So the Chinese went crazy. Someone, there's one person, yeah, unbelievable, there's one person in the whole world who's willing to take a stand and say they know how to do this. So Rabbi Yashiv, 98-year-old Rabbi Yashiv, as I say in shul all the time, who lives on a street that's not wide enough to drive a car down, in a 2.5-room apartment which he brought up 11 children. He made a Kiddush Hashem around the whole world. I was once at a good convention. I had the schus. I walked into the dining room to eat breakfast Friday morning, and there was nobody there except for Matasio. Unbelievable schus. So I asked him if I could sit down. He said, yes. I said, I had breakfast with Matasio. It was unbelievable. So he tells me what he was speaking about. I said, Chesha Mishpas. He tells me, over. You have to say over the smag. Smag, S-A-I-N-Dalit. Look it up. It's unbelievable. Smag, S-A-I-N-Dalit. This is what the smag says. Unbelievable. Talk to smag like this. Mashiach, if you think about this, it's so mind-boggling. Mashiach is going to come one day. Okay? Mashiach, Bez Hashem is born, right? We hope maybe today, right? He's going to come. Zok the smog like this. Where do Jews and non-Jews interact more than anywhere else? In the marketplace. Wherever the marketplace may be. They interact in the marketplace. So Zok the smog, Mashiach's going to come. You've got to come to the marketplace. That's a pechad. Zok the smog, you know what's going to happen? One of two things. Either the goyim are going to say, aha, they deserve Mashiach, because look at the way they interact with so much emes. Or says the smog, rechmon al son pum fakert. Now he doesn't say, therefore Mashiach's going to turn around and go home. I don't know what he means. But he does say, what an awesome chil Hashem. that the goyim are going to say Mashiach came for them. Look at the smug, unbelievable. Mashiach came for them. I want to conclude with many things, but I'm going to conclude with this one. My wife is a social worker. So she once had a family, and she had to talk to the child of the family. So she told the child of the family, anything you tell me, I won't say over. Child wouldn't talk. Wife says, confidentiality, if I say over anything, I'll lose my job. Child won't talk. Said, I'll lose my license, garnished. The wife said to the child, I can't say over anything called this Lashon Hara. Child started talking immediately. What a Kiddush Hashem. Tell the child, I can't, my boss, my this, Lashon Hara. Okay, Rabbi Say, I believe firmly that these type of gatherings are going to create the following issue. I can't do that because it's a Chil Hashem. I can't do that because I'm going to be having a Bechina and I want to answer correctly and I don't want to be shown up by my own video. That's what we're doing here. I'm just saying to Klolim, go find out the Pratim. And how do you find out the Pratim? You have to learn what should I tell you. Cheshem Mishpat is not easy, but it is Gishmak. It's not easy, but it is Gishmak. Have any of you ever heard me speak before? You ever hear me say over from Rosh Schwab? Myself from Rosh Schwab? Okay, since only three people raised their hand, I feel it's an obligation. I have to tell you over to myself. We'll end with this. I called up Rosh Schwab, Zeichet Tzadik Lebracha. I was Zeichet to have a lot of shaykhs with him over the phone when I first became Rav 20 years ago. So I called up Rosh Schwab, the first year I was Rav. I called him up and I say to him, I have a shaykh like this. I have a frum yid. Now you'll understand retroactively why I use certain terms I use when I was speaking. I have a frum yid who has a cash business. Another frum person in town received a request, not a subpoena, received a request from the FBI. I say this story over all the time, whenever I have time. I speak about Cheshem Mishpat. So she wants to know, Mesira, what should she do? So the Schwab Zafel says to me, ask the question again. So I ask the question again. A frum yid has a cash business. A frum woman got a request from the FBI to give her books. Is she allowed to give her books? So the Schwab Zafel says to me, ask the question again. Okay, now I don't have to be a rocket scientist. Something's wrong. So I start. He's in Washington Heights. I'm in Chicago. Says to me like this. I say, a frum person has a cash business. Don't call him frum! I did not need the phone. Maybe he's Shem Shabbos. Maybe he wears tefillin. Maybe he's kosher. But don't call him frum. That's why I said Shem Shabbos whenever I spoke about anything when I was speaking. Don't call him frum. And then he told me about himself. He said to me like this. When he moved from Baltimore to Washington Heights, he was a Rav in Baltimore for decades. He moved to Washington Heights to become the assistant Rav to Rav Breuer's at some. So he said he was audited because he sold a house in Baltimore and he moved to Washington. He was audited. So he said, I don't know what these words meant. I asked his family to ensure. He said, I had a person who was a shtickle a lawyer and a shtickle an accountant. I gave him all my records. Sent everything to the IRS. IRS sent back a letter. This is what he told me on the phone. IRS sent back a letter. Thus, Vizel Lashoynon. You ready? Dear sir, in the history of the IRS, we have never received such meticulous and honest books. Please forward our congratulations to your client. Then you know what he told to me? Every Jew who gets audited should get the same letter. It's not for a Schwab. It's for us. Vizelhu Rabbi Say. That's Cheshem Mishpat. It's a way of life. It's challenging. We are here. I believe we are all pioneers. We should all be zeichet to be matzliach to make an incredible Kiddush Hashem. Hatzlacha rabba to all of us.